This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Good evening, Capricorn FM listeners and grade 12 learners. I am Mr. Mpapuri MT, teaching agricultural science in grade 12. Today, we are going to talk about the structure of paper 2 again, and most frequently appeared questions in paper 2. The structure of paper 2 and most frequently appeared question in paper 2. I will start by outlining the structure of paper 2. The duration of paper 2 is 2 hours and a half, and paper 2, it consists of two sections, section A and section B. Section A is 45 marks, section B is 105 marks. Then section A consists of four questions, namely multiple choice, terminology, column match type of question, and a term replacement. Section B consists of 3 questions. And the 3 questions, they are going to be examined looking the 3 main topics that are there in paper 2. The topics are as follows: agricultural management and marketing, production factors, and basic agricultural genetics. It simply means each topic is going to have 35 marks. Each question is going to have 35 marks. The main topics are agricultural management and marketing, production factors, and basic genetics. Then, in our last slot, we have discussed about the questions that are frequently appeared in agricultural management and marketing. We were still discussing the questions that are frequently appeared in production factors. Then, without waste of any time, let us go straight to the questions that are frequently appeared in production factors. Then we've got the question. The question is a scenario, and the scenario reads as follows: a farm worker worked on 3 public holidays. The daily allowance on normal working days is 111.72 per day. The allowance on the public holiday is double the allowance for a normal working day. The employer paid this worker 400 in a total of 3 public holidays. I will repeat the scenario. A farm worker worked on 3 public holidays. The daily allowance on normal working day is 111.72 per day. The allowance on public holiday is double the allowance for normal working days. Then the employer paid this worker 400 in total for 3 public holidays. Then question 1 was, calculate the amount this worker is entitled to for work performed on 3 public holidays. Here we must first look at the normal allowance. The normal allowance a day is 111.72, because the worker is working on a holiday. It simply means that we are going to multiply 111.72 by 2, because the allowance in holiday is doubled. 111.72 multiplied by 2 is going to give us is going to give us 223.44 cent. It's going to give us 223.44 cent because the worker work for 3 days, which means we're going to multiply 223.44 by 3, which is going to give us 670.32, or you can say 111.72 cent multiplied by 2 multiplied by 3 is going to give us the very same answer, which is 670.32. Then state whether this was fair or unfair labor practice to the farm worker. It was unfair labor practices. Refer to the labor law governing working on public holidays. Justify the answer to question 2. The worker underpaid. The worker received 270.32 less because allowance on public holiday is doubled the allowance of normal working day. The worker is underpaid. The worker received 270 less, and the allowance on public holiday is doubled the allowance of normal working days. Then let us look at another question. The question, it is based on the contract of employment. Below is an extract from contract of employment between a farmer and a farm worker. Then the contract of employment is as follows. The particular of the employer, it is called El Nino Farms. The name, TR El Nino. ID number 50110169081186. Particulars of the employee. The name is V Jibe. Identity number 69010132061. Job title, a spray operator. Duration of the contract, 1 February 2018 to retirement. Mode of payment, monthly salary by check. Amount, 2,500. Terms of employment, working hours is from 6 to 5. Leave, 1 week paid. Leave per annum. Protective clause, none. This is the contract of employment. I will repeat this contract. Particulars of the employer, El Nino Farms. Name of the employer, TR El Nino. ID of the employer, 50110169081186. Particulars of the employee, the name is V Jive. The ID number 69010132061. Job title, spray operator. Duration of the contract, 1 February 2018 to retirement. Mode of payment, monthly salary by check. Amount, 2,500. Terms of employment, working hours, 6 in the morning and 5 late in the afternoon. To 5 late in the afternoon. Leave, 1 week paid leave per annum. Then the first question was, identify the type of farm worker who signed the contract and justify the answer. You identify the type of farm worker who signed the contract and you justify the answer. The answer is permanent, fixed, or full-time worker. The answer is permanent, fixed, or full-time worker. The reason for your answer, because it's a long-term employment which starts from 1 February 2018 to retirement. And the worker here is entitled to some of the benefit, such as annual leave. That's why we are saying that the type of worker there is permanent worker. Then another question, select an item from the contract of employment that relates to the following labor legislation. We have got Basic Condition of Employment Act, Act of 1997, Act number 75. And we've got Occupational Health and Safety Act, 1993, Act number 85. You select an item in the contract of employment that relates to the following labor legislation. Basic Condition of Employment Act, the item that relates to Basic Condition of Employment Act on the contract is duration of the contract, remuneration or amount, and working hours. Then Occupational Health and Safety Act, the item that relates is protective clothes. Then four, or number three, identify an aspect in the contract of employment that contributes to the problem of scarcity of labor. You motivate your answer. Number one is remuneration, which is 2,500. Number two is long working hours, which start from 6 early in the morning to 5 in the afternoon. Number three is leave. The worker is saving only 1 week paid leave per annum. And lastly, we've got protective clothes. Protective clothes is none here, which means it's a dangerous working condition. Then another question, identify the farm worker mentioned in the contract of employment was diagnosed HIV/AIDS. Then state two ways in which this farm worker could have an impact on the productivity of this farm business, which means these are the impact of HIV on the productivity of farming business. The number one, worker could be sick and absent from work. There is going to be lower productivity. Worker may work slowly. There is going to lead to short labor or shortage of labor. And it is going to be difficult to complete the task. Then there is going to be extra finance to support the farmer. Planning, running of the farm becomes more difficult, and there is going to be loss of skills and experience. These are some of the impact of HIV/AIDS on the farm. Then let us look at another question. Then when the farmer employs a new worker, a contract must be drawn again. Even this one is based on the contract of employment. The terms and the condition of the contract must comply with labor legislation. Some items to be included in the contract are as follows: working hours, compensation for injury while on duty, wages or salary, condition for the termination of service, affiliation to trade unions and right to strike, supply protective clothes, contribute to unemployment insurance fund. I will repeat this. We have got working hours, compensation for injury while on duty, wages and salary, condition for the termination of service, affiliation of trade unions and right to strike, supply of protective clothing, contribution to unemployment insurance fund, UIF. Then you choose one statement from the list above which address the following. Occupational Occupational Health and Safety Act, then the item there is supply of protective cloth or compensation for injury while on duty. Then Basic Condition of Employment Act, we have got working hours, condition for termination, wages and salary. Then Labor Relations Act, contribution towards unemployment insurance fund, affiliation to trade unions and right to strike. Then you state to benefit of unemployment insurance fund for farm workers. Then the benefits are as follows: payment of farm workers when out of work, payment of female farm workers while on maternity leave. These are the two benefits of UIF, which is unemployment insurance fund for farm workers. Then let us look at another question. Another question about the different forms of capital is used on farm and are shown in the illustration below. You answer the question based on this illustration. And then we have got the diagram, which is having a farmstead. Then inside the farmstead, we have got different types of capital that are found there, which means this question, it is based on the types of capital. We all know that we have got three types of capital: fixed, movable, and working. Fixed are those capital that are permanent in nature or that doesn't move from one place to another. Movable, they are less permanent in nature and they can move from one place to another. Working, they are used in a single production process. Then we've got the farmstead with different types of capital. Then the first question was, name the example of types of capital that will require long-term credit. The answer is fixed capital. Or the answer, fixed capital on the picture, we've got a building, a land, and the fence. That will require medium-term credit to acquire. Those are movable capital. And in our picture, we've got horses, animals, and the implement called the planter. Then you list two problems associated with types of capital in the question two, in the question one. Then the problems that are related to capital or to fixed capital, the capital goods such as building, land, and implements are costly. The planter, the building, the fence may depreciate, and it is risk to keep animal because they could die. Those are some of the problems associated with types of capital mentioned in question one and question two. Again, let us look at another question. Or before we look at another question, let us go to short commercial break. We'll be back after this. Yeah, thank you. Before the break, we were still coming to another question, which is, the question is based on the financial records. We all know that we've got four financial records that must be kept in agriculture. The first one is income statement. Income statement, it records income and expenses, and the main aim of drawing this income statement we want to determine profit or loss. Then how do we determine profit or loss? We're going to say profit or loss is equals to income minus expenditure. And another type of financial record, it is called balance sheet. Even balance sheet record assets and liability. And the main aim of this financial record, we want to determine the net worth or the net value of a business. Then how do we determine the net value of a business? We're going to say net worth is equals to asset minus liability. And another thing, we've got cash flow statement, which records receipts and payment. And this one, it is done every month. The main aim is to determine profit or loss on a monthly basis. Then how do we determine profit or loss on a monthly basis? We're going to say receipts minus payment. Then we're going to determine whether the farmer is profiting or running at loss. Then in the question, the information below show assets and a liability on the farm. It simply tells us that the financial record there is balance sheet because it's recording assets and liability. Then you have been given the assets and liability. We've got the value of the farm, which is 3,500. The tractor loan, which is 165,000. The value of the vehicle, which is 275,000. Overdraft, which is 150,000. A bond, which is 400,200. Then a cash, which is 50,000. The value of the building, which is 650,000. Then you were supposed to redraw the table above and complete it with the information provided. Then you calculate the net worth of a business. In other words, you are matching assets together and liabilities together. Then let us look at the assets. The first assets is value of the farm. Another asset is value of the vehicle. Another asset is cash. Another asset is buildings. Then which means the liability as three is tractor loan, overdraft, and bond. Tractor loan, overdraft, and bond. Then after matching assets and liability, you must supply the total of the assets and the total of liabilities. Then the total of the assets are 4,475,000, while the totals of liabilities are 4,715,000. Then the last part of the question was you calculated the net worth of a farm, and I have already said that net worth is equals to asset minus liability, the total amount of assets minus the total amount of liability. And I have said our assets are 4,475,000, and the total liability are 4,715,000, which means you are going to subtract 4,715 from 4,715,000 from 4,750,000. Then the answer is equals to -240,000. The answer is equals to -240,000. Then another question was, indicate whether this farming business is viable. You give reason for your answer. No, the final, this farming business is not viable. Reason, because liability are greater than assets. Because liability are greater than assets. And there is loss of -240,000. Which means this farming business is not viable. Then let us look at another question. An emerging broiler and egg farmer wants to draw up a cash flow budget for a month. Then the opening from a zero balance. And then workers' wage cost 400,000 per week. Chicken feed cost 7,000 per week. Electricity 250 per week, and some other cost amount to 1,500 per week. Then the farmer's economic consists of the following: eggs sold for cash to a local shop is 10,000 per week. Once a month, broiler are sold to a slaughter house for 50,000. Then the first question was, you draw up a mini cash flow budget for a 1 week. You draw up a mini cash flow budget for a 1 week. Then what you are supposed to do? You are going to write the cost and the income. Then the cost are wages, chicken feeds, electricity, and other costs. Then the income are X sold per week. And the net cash a week is -5,000. It simply means the cost are 15,000, and then the income is 10,000 for X sold per week. Then in order to find the net cash, we're going to say income minus expenditure, and our income here is 10,000. Then the cost is 15,000, which means we have got a negative of 5,000, which means this farmer is running at loss. Then let us switch over and look at agricultural basic genetics now. Let us look at agricultural basic genetics. Then I have said genetics is the study of heredity. Then in heredity is where we are dealing with characteristics or traits. Then the traits must be transferred, or characteristics must be transferred from one parent to the offspring, or from one generation to another generation. Then I have already said that these characteristics are determined by genes, and these genes are determined by allele. Allele determined by letters, and letters in pairs. This is the key of genetics. You must know that genetics is the study of heredity. In heredity, characteristics are transferred from one generation to another, or from parents to the offspring. And the characteristics are represented by genes. While the genes are represented by allele, allele represented by letters, letters in pair. Again, you must know the word dominant and the word recessive. You must again know the word dominant and the word recessive. A dominant is a visible allele, while recessive is invisible allele. And again, you must know the term heterozygous or homozygous. An allele can be heterozygous or homozygous. Homo means same, hetero means different. It simply means that a homozygous characteristics is having the same letters. If capital letter, all of them are capital letters. If small letter, all of them are small letters. But a heterozygous allele is having a capital letter and a small letter. And I have said the genes are represented by allele, allele represented by letters, letters in pairs. That's why we are having two letters. Then let us look at the questions now. They are saying a black bread-faced ram is crossed with a pure bread white-faced ewe. Another word for homozygous is a pure bread. When they are saying a pure bred black-faced ram, they are saying a homozygous black-faced red is crossed with a homozygous white-faced ewe. B represent the ram space. And you must also know that a ram is a male sheep, which is dominant over the white face color of the ewe, and the ewe is a female sheep. Then we have been given a schematic representation there. The first parent are A and B. Then C is our F1 generation. It simply means that if A and B are both homozygous, which simply mean male is going to have capital letter B, female is going to have small letter B. And the offspring that are going to be born are going to be capital letter B, small letter B. This is C, which is F1 generation. Then we've got D and E in the schematic representation. D and E is where inbreeding has taken place. The word inbreeding simply means we are crossing organisms that are closely related, which means we are going to take a brother and a sister, and a brother is having capital letter B, small letter B, even the sister is having capital letter B, small letter B, then resulting in F2 generation. Then the genotype of the first offspring in F2 generation is going to be capital letter B, capital letter B. Then let us look at the question now. You write down the genotype of parent B. Parent number B, the sign of parent number B is that one of the female. And the female is white in color, and white is recessive, which simply means the answer is going to be small letter B, small letter B. The answer is going to be small letter B, small letter B. What you must bear in mind, which is very much important, is this, that capital letter is dominant over small letter. Then indicate whether the parents A and B are homozygous or heterozygous. They are both homozygous. The parent A and B are homozygous because they are purebred. And I have said the word purebred is the same as the word homozygous. Then you identify the phenotype in the F2 generation as represented by F, G, and H. I have said the first offspring of the second filial generation was capital letter B, capital letter B, and the phenotype there is black. Then the second offspring is going to be capital letter B, small letter B, again, which means F is black. G again is going to be capital letter B, small letter B, which is black again, and H is going to be small letter B, small letter B, which is white, which means F, G, and H, F is black, G is black, and H is white. Then you indicate the genotypic and phenotypic ratio in the F2 generation. Let us start by genotypic ratio. Genotypic ratio is going to be 1:2:1. Because in the genotype, we're going to look at the different alleles. And I have said our allele can be homozygous or heterozygous. Then when we are looking at the genotypic ratio, it simply means we're going to check whether the offspring is homozygous or heterozygous. Then we have got 4 offspring. The first one is capital letter B. The second one is capital letter B. The third one is capital letter B. And the last one is small letter B. Then when we want to find the genotypic ratio, we're going to ask ourselves the following question. How many homozygous red offspring do we have? We've got only one, which is capital letter B. Then how many heterozygous black offspring do we have? There are 2, which is capital letter B, small letter B. And then how many homozygous white offspring do we have? It's only 1. It's small letter B, which means our genotypic ratio is 1 capital letter B is to 2 capital letter B is to 1 small letter B. Then let us look at phenotypic ratio. Phenotypic ratio, we're going to look at the physical appearance of the organism, or we're going to look at the characteristic only. The characteristics we're dealing about here is color, and is black and white. Then we're going to look at the offspring and see how many offspring are black in color. The offspring that are black in color is 3. And how many offspring white is only 1 offspring, which means the phenotypic ratio is 3:1. 3 black is to 1 white. Then this percentage, these ratios can again be converted into percentage. This ratio can again be converted into percentage. Let us look at this one of phenotypic ratio, which is 3 black is to 1 white. We're going to say 3/4 multiplied by 100. Why over 4? Because the number of offspring are 4. Then it's going to give us 75%. And again, we're going to say 1/4 multiplied by 100, giving us 25%, which means the phenotypic percentage of F2 generation is 75:25%. Then let us go to short commercial break. We'll be back after this. Thank you. Before the break, we were still converting ratio into percentage. I have said the phenotypic ratio of F2 generation is 3 black is to 1 white. And when we want to convert this ratio into percentage, we're going to say 3 black over 4 multiplied by 100, which means we're going to have 75% of black offspring. And then we're going to say 1/4 multiplied by 100, which simply means we're going to have 25% of white offspring, which means the phenotypic percentage of F1 generation is 75:25. Then let us convert the genotypic ratio, which is 1:2:1. We're going to say 1/4 multiplied by 100, which is going to give us 25. 2/4 multiplied by 100, giving us 50. And again, 1/4 multiplied by 100, giving us 25. 25 plus 50 plus 25% is equals to 100%. Then let us look at another question. The question was, a homozygous brown colored iwi was mated with homozygous white colored iwi, a colored ram in the breeding program. The brown color, capital letter A, is dominant over white color, small letter A, which means brown is dominant over white, because a brown is represented by capital letter, while white is represented by small letter. Then the iwi produce brown lamb in the second generation, and the iwi produce white lamb. The iwi produce brown lambs in the second generation, and iwi produce white lambs. Then you indicate the phenotype of the parents. We've got two phenotypes of the parents there. One is brown and another one is white. See, brown and white are the answer. Then you indicate the genotype of the parents. A homozygous brown colored is represented by capital letter A, which means it's capital letter A, capital letter A. The genotype of another parent is small letter A, small letter A. Name the type of dominance demonstrated in the crossing, where is complete dominant. We've got three types of dominance. It's complete, incomplete, and codominant. Then incomplete, one allele is dominant and the other one is recessive. But in incomplete, both alleles are not dominant. Both alleles are not dominant. That's why they change color. They dilute one another and change color and have an intermediate color. Then in codominance, both alleles are dominant. That's why all of them wanted to appear on the offspring. These are the three types of dominance. Then the question was, you name the type of dominance demonstrated in the crossing. The type of dominance is complete, because brown is dominant over white, and incomplete dominant. One characteristic is dominant and the other one is recessive. One allele not characteristic. One allele is dominant and another allele is recessive. Then give reason for your answer. The reason is this, that brown color is dominant over white color. Then indicate the possible genotype of the first crossing with a Punnett square, which simply means you are going to draw a Punnett square. You are going to draw a Punnett square. You write the gametes of the first parent on top of the Punnett square. Then you write the gametes of another parent on the left hand side of the Punnett square. Then you cross, which means we are going to have four offspring that are all heterozygous brown. We're going to have four offsprings that are all heterozygous brown. Then let us look at another question. Another question was about another type of dominance. Now, what's another type of dominance? I've said we've got three types of dominance, namely complete, incomplete, and codominant. Then the crossing of black male farm animal and white female farm animal give rise to a heterozygous gray. We've got black and white, but the two animals are giving rise to a heterozygous gray in the F1 generation. Then the same offspring of the F1 generation were allowed to breed through inbreeding, and their offspring in the F2 generation have the phenotypic ratio of 1:2:1. Then you name the type of dominance illustrated above. The type of dominance is incomplete, because we've got black and white. We've got black and white, but the offspring that were born were having gray, were having gray color, which means the type of dominance is codominant, because both, sorry, the type of dominance is incomplete. Then give reasons to motivate your answer. The reason is this, that the offspring inherited none of the color of the parents. No parent is dominant. The offspring inherited none of the color of the parents. We have got black and white, but the offspring is gray, which means no parent is dominant. That's the reason. Then you complete the diagram and write down the missing genotype. We have got A and B. A is our female, B is our male, and we have said the we've got black and white. Black is represented by capital letter B, white is represented by a capital letter W. Then the process of meiosis is going to take place there. After meiosis, we're going to have the formation of gametes. Then we've got A and B, then C, D, E, and F. C, D, E, and F are our gametes, which means the first gametes, because it's that one of the female, is going to be WW. And the genotype of B is going to be capital letter B, capital letter B. Then the gametes of the female is going to be WW. And the gametes of the male is going to be capital letter B, capital letter B. Then we have got G, which is the offspring that are going to be born. The offspring that are going to be born are going to be BW or WB. Then let us look at another question. The patterns of inheritance can lead to different phenotype. If white flowers were crossed with red flower, the offspring of the F1 generation will be pink. Then use the Punnett square method to show the offspring of the F2 generation from parents number one, which means we're going to draw a Punnett square. The first parent is having capital letter W, and another one is having capital letter R, which means in the Punnett square, capital letter W, the gametes of the capital letter W, they are going to be on top. Then the gametes, capital letter R, they are going to be on the left-hand side of the Punnett square. Then fertilization must take place, where we are going to have four offspring that are capital letter RW, and they are pink in color. Indicate the type of dominance. The type of dominance is incomplete, because red and white give rise to pink color. A pink color is an intermediate color. Give the phenotypic ratio of F2 generation. F2 generation, we're going to have capital letter R, capital letter R, capital letter R, capital letter W, capital letter R, capital letter W, capital letter WW, which means the phenotypic ratio, we're going to have one red, two pink, and one white. We're going to have one red, two pink, and one white. Then let us look at another question. Another question now was indicating another pattern of inheritance. The milk production of a Jersey cow is controlled by two pairs of genes. The genotype AA give rise to the yield of 200 liters. Each additive allele genes add 20 liters of milk. Then this type of inheritance is called polygenic inheritance. Polygenic inheritance is the type of inheritance which controlled by many genes, and it is mainly used in production. Then we've got a recessive allele AAB. And this Jessica with this recessive allele is producing 200 liters of milk as initial production. Then they are saying each additive allele is adding 20 liters of milk. Each additive allele is adding 20 liters. Additive allele are dominant allele, which means are going to be capital letter A, capital letter A, capital letter B, capital letter B. Then the first question, you indicated the type of inheritance that controls the allele of a GSE. The type of inheritance is called polygenic inheritance. Then you calculate the milk yield with the genotype of capital letter A, small letter B. Then the initial milk production is 200, and we are having two additive allele or two dominant allele. It's capital letter A, and each is adding 20 liters to the initial production, which means because we are having two dominant allele, we are going to say 200 liters, which is initial milk production, plus 20, which is the first capital letter A, plus 20, which is the second capital letter A, which is going to give us a milk yield of 240 liters, which is going to give a milk yield of 240 liters, because each additive allele is adding 20 to 200, and we've got two additive alleles. Then number three, you work out the genotypic and phenotypic ratio in the F2 generation if the cross between AABB is done. We simply mean we are going to have the following gametes. The gametes of the first parent is going to be AB, and the gametes of the second parent is going to be first parent is going to be capital letter AB, of the second parent is going to be small letter AB. Then when fertilization is going to take place, we're going to have capital letter A, small letter A, capital letter B, small letter B, which simply means we've got two additive allele. We've got two additive allele. And the question, you work the genotype and phenotypic ratio of F1 generation if the cross between which means the genotypic ratio is going to be capital letter A, small letter A, capital letter B, small letter B. Let us start with the phenotypic ratio. Phenotypic ratio, which means this type of cow is going to produce 240 liters. Is going to produce 240 liters because we've got capital letter A and capital letter B. And then the genotypic simply mean we're going to have capital letter A, a small letter A, capital letter B, small letter B. Just because of time, I am wishing you good luck in your coming exam for Agric Paper 1 and Paper 2. I thank you very much.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.